Blog Talk Radio.
Looks like I'm having trouble uploading my bumper music here. Not quite sure what happened with that, but we can fix that in a second. Welcome back to Speedway Anywhere, your motorsports and multi-sports hour. I'm going to get this this background music going. Right there it went. Let's start this over. Welcome back to Speedway Anywhere, your motorsports and multi-sports hour. blogtalkradio.com/speedwayanywhere. I'll be your crew chief for tonight. Captain Kurt will be joining us in a while for more shenanigans, and you're always welcome to join in on it. Go ahead and call in 917-889-2053 or email the show, as we check them regularly at SpeedwayAnywhere@outlook.com. The original plan was to do the mid-season motorsports feature this evening, but A, it's a lot of stuff to write, and B, I was waiting on a rainout from a Sunday race, so I couldn't get the results to get everything current, and three, there's a ton to catch up on after points got shuffled at Daytona, and I would be doing an injustice by not making time to recap the exciting weekend that was. So, the tree just had green light. Let's drop the hammer. I want to highlight the Indy winner at Iowa. I know I usually start with the Cup Series, but I am for James Hinchcliffe. Aren't you? After the scrambling during Indy qualifying, Hinch got bumped out of the field in the closing minutes. Hinch got out on the track in time, but had a loose wheel and had to come back to pit road to fix it. Then he had to get back in line to try it again, and the time expired. Hinchcliffe missed the field at Indy, which is just... it's a head scratcher. Maybe a provisional program needs to be set up in the Indy Series. So his win at Iowa was just what the doctor ordered. Last year's champ, Joseph Newgarden, dominated the race till Hinch got the lead on lap 256, and he kept it to the final lap of the 300-lap race. It's James Hinchcliffe's sixth win in the series, and first in 26 starts since Long Beach last year, which I believe was back in February. Last year, champion Newgarden led 229 laps after lap 24, but failed to land on the podium after he finished fourth. If you're wondering what the podium is first through third. Hinch was followed by Spencer Pigot, who got his highest career finish in second, and Takuma Sato. Last year's Indy winner, I believe, rounded out the podium in third. Once again, though, last year's champion, fourth. Points are currently Scott Dixon in first, last year's champ Joseph Newgarden in second, and Alexander Rossi, who's been making a splash in the Indy fields this year, finished in third. Hinchcliffe draped himself. Well, actually, it was his crew that did it. In his home country of Canada's flag in Victory Lane. That's where they will race next weekend. It will be in Toronto. Kind of a homecoming for Hinchcliffe. Hopefully, he can keep some of these wins up. He's not doing that great in points after missing Indy. Toronto Grand Prix, July 15th, we'll have the Indy Lights Series as well as Pro Mazda opening up for them on the 13th, Lucky Friday the 13th. A lot of races going on Friday the 13th. Let's head up to Cup. And now for the second of the first headlines. I thought the fireworks were supposed to be the finale. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, they started early. The sparks and smoke didn't take long to arrive after the green flag. The big one, as most call it, happened just in 53 laps. Getting up for another first-time winner in Cup as half the field and the normal dominant drivers and cars, dominant teams, were taken out, or at least damaged. Erik Jones, obviously a dominant team, drives for Gibbs, but he's not exactly what you'd call someone you'd put your money on. But Daytona does that. You may remember that Jones, as last year's Rookie of the Year in Cup, was also a Truck Series champ and multiple time winner in both the Truck and Xfinity Series. Most of the wrecks took out the top 5 points leaders, except for Martin Truex, who finished second. That was in the final wreck. Harvick and Bowyer fell victim in that final wreck while running inside the top of the grid, meaning kind of back and forth between second and seventh, and then they were gone. That's it. Logano and Keselowski were victims long earlier in that initial wreck, especially Keselowski. Kyle Busch, the points leader, ended up in that wreck. Got his second DNF of the year, did not finish for 2018 after Ricky Stenhouse Jr. got into his side. Stenhouse claims he was trying to side draft. There was a pick of a car in the lower lane. I don't know. I'm not a driver. I just report this stuff. So that triggered one of the two wrecks that Ricky caused. After the race, Stenhouse was given a couple of security guards to escort him into the garage area following the race, out to whatever stretches of Daytona Speedway, and maybe all the way to the airport. Who knows? But yes, he was given a couple of security escorts. So top five went to Erik Jones in first, Martin Truex in second, AJ Allmendinger third. I think that's his best finish this year. Casey Kane, who was poised to win, he was actually doing a really good job. He was up there in front, and matter of fact, on one of the restarts, he was leading the race. I'm not even sure if he's led a lap this year. But, yeah, he was poised to win. He finished fourth. And then Chris Buescher finished in fifth. His second top five of the year. Points are still Kyle Busch in first, despite his bad day. Harvick in second. Truex moves up to third. which passed Logano, who moved him back to fourth. And then Keselowski, who has no wins, is still in fifth, hanging on by a thread. Those Penske teammates are barely holding on to the top five, only 2 points ahead of Clint Bowyer in sixth. So with Bowyer getting taken out in that final wreck, that probably would have shuffled both the Penske cars, Logano and Keselowski, back even further. When I look at the points grid, it's crazy how many top drivers added a DNF, a did not finish, to their stats, including Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson actually led more laps at Daytona than the entire season. I think I heard pit stops that he led, but was a lap down, and it was the first lap that he led the entire year. So as he came across the start finish line behind the pace car, well, all the lead lap cars pitted, that gave him his first lap lead of the year. Johnson, like I said, was extremely competitive and looked like he just might break the winless streak. Johnson ended up 23rd in that final wreck, and of course, with a DNF, did not finish. The Cup Series heads to Kentucky on Saturday, July 14th, where I'm sure there will be some paybacks and scores to settle. That's going to be a Saturday night race, and headed off, of course, by the opening events of the Truck and Xfinity Series. Speaking of X, we got the X Games coming here. That's going to be awesome. I need to go this time. No, the Xfinity. Once again, a Cup guy took victory lane ahead of Elliott Sadler. And the Sirius regular got bushwhacked, as I call it. The, you know, the bushwhackers, the old Busch Series, where the Cup drivers come down and with higher funded teams and more resources end up stealing the wins from the Sirius regulars. The playoff berth system needs to be fixed. It's a when you're in format for the final chase showdown. Kyle Larson, Kyle Busch, they're taking the wins. They're stealing them. We need a better idea as far as, I mean, should, even if, say that Kyle Busch and Kyle Larson finished first and second, shouldn't Elliott Sadler or another series regular, whoever finishes third, gets a berth in that playoff system? I don't know. It's something's got to happen with that. Austin Dillon did say on a national network recently that he can recount the Cup drivers inspiring him, and he learned from them while they were in the field when he was in the lower divisions, be it when he took the Truck Series championship, and you know, when he was racing in the Xfinity Series. But I have to question the point system. How are winners non-eligible? Meaning that, okay, you're a Cup driver. So what? Without a Cup driver being eligible to win in the Busch Series, Xfinity Series, Kevin Harvick wouldn't have been able to do the double duty that he did in 2001 when Earnhardt Sr. died, and he began driving number 29 at Rockingham. So even after, I'm getting long-winded here, but even in the first Cup race of the year, he still finished like what, fourth in points? And that was when he won that totally memorable race at Atlanta, coming down to the line for that feel good moment after Senior died. Speaking of points, it's been like a Taylor Swift song, Shake It Off. Elliott Sadler had fallen to third after Chicago, but he got back to first at Daytona with his second place finish. Finishing order at Daytona Xfinity race was Kyle Larson, of course, you know, cup driver. And then Elliott Sadler got back to the points lead by finishing second. Christopher Bell, who has a playoff chase berth, went third. Cup bushwhacker Ryan Blaney, another one, took fourth. And Kaz Kwala, I've never heard of him before. He pulled off the restrictor plate wonder, finishing fifth, getting his first top five in the Xfinity Series. Points right now sit at Sadler in first, Daniel Hemric in second, Cole Custer in third, Christopher Bell still the only lock with a win, and Justin Allgaier moved into fifth. He's got a couple wins. Also, Reddick is sixth. He has a victory for a chase berth, so he's safe. Spencer Gallagher, with a win, is back in 16th. Only has 9 starts, and maybe chase ineligible. I'm not positive on that one. They do make their exceptions. So, here's a tidbit stupid as I go for a break because, you know, I can only inhale and exhale so many times and throw it at my vocal cords. Tidbit stupid. Afghanistan actually has a 30-minute daylight savings time. Wrap your mind around that. Truck Series had the weekend off, and they will be opening the weekend on Thursday, I believe. Let me double check that for just a second. Yes, they'll be opening the weekend on Thursday for an evening race at Kentucky. But the big excitement 6 days later, Eldora, easily one of my top three favorite NASCAR events. They will be on dirt, and it's the only Premier Series in NASCAR that races on dirt. And we, the drivers were extremely apprehensive at the beginning. even like when they talk about road courses and those types, you know, these teams, they bring ringers, the guys that know how to do it. That doesn't happen as much anymore as far as road courses. But Scott Blomquist, the big dog on the Wasota and Have a Tampa series and all them, he came in, he made it through the D main, the C main, the B main, and then into the A feature at Eldora for that series. He finished last. The drivers that were dreading it the worst. I remember Darrell Wallace, Bubba Wallace. He's like, what? We're going to race on dirt? 1 year later, Bubba Wallace, Darrell Wallace Jr., second place finisher at Daytona in the Cup Series this year. He won it. He won it. And he was so intimidated by racing on dirt. Eldora, Wednesday, prime time. Charlotte 600. That's a pretty cool day for me. I'm not sure if it's my favorite race, but it's really cool how the Indy 500 and Charlotte 600 are back to back. Bristol Night Race. That's pretty cool. That's going to be coming up here in just over a month, I think. And then, of course, Homestead Miami, my first and second cup race I ever saw. First times in Florida. That's probably at the top of my list, but I'm going to say Eldora is definitely number two. And Kurt, don't make no jokes about number two.
Number two,
I know you
number
were thinking
one.
So let me finish up these liner notes here. Johnny Sauter and Noah Gregson still hold the top two, but Brett Moffitt is on a tear with three wins in third. All three drivers do have a lock in the final showdown. Tonight, I got to make mention of this. July 9th, tonight, just in case someone's hearing the show on a later date, local channel Care 11 here in the Twin Cities, NBC affiliate at 8 p.m., American Ninja Warrior tryouts from Minneapolis at U.S. Bank Stadium will be airing. We could have been notified not to compete, but just to be there, check it out, under that midnight sky. According to my nurses over at the hospital, they said that thing lasted until the sun started coming up, which this time of year would have made it about 5 a.m. From what I know, it was late May 20-something. That's when the series was there. So, I have some interesting stuff coming up, and I'd like some people to weigh in on it. 917-889-2053. You can join me and Captain Kurt, or email, as I keep the email open throughout the show, at speedwayanywhere@outlook.com. I've been thinking about changing the name of the show. Any feelings on that?
Well, Speedway Anywhere, nothing's popping up right now.
The one word,
you know,
that is staying in my head is something to do with track. On track, off track, blah, blah.
Oh, boy, how about you could go with Blog Talk Speedway.
How does that ring? Let's see. Blog Talk Speedway. So blogtalkradio.com/blogtalkspeedway. It's actually got a cool ring to it. Blogtalkradio.com/ Yeah, Blog Talk Speedway. I'll have to see if that's available. Actually, I kind of like it.
You could even, oh boy, this is Backlane Speedway. No, that doesn't. Yeah, the only one I could think of right now. You know, Checkered Flag Racing has been probably used. Just the only thing that really pops into my head right now. Oh, and by the way, I got American Ninja Warrior on. The Viking cheerleaders were there. Surprise, but...
That's already on? Oh, okay, so when they said 8 p.m., they... Eastern time. Dang.
Yeah.
Who's going to tune into it right after the show?
Oh, I'm sure you could. I'm sure you'll be able to find it though.
Yeah, I was going to stream it on because Channel 11 sucks on my. Anyways, I'm babbling too much and I'm talking. So once again, the number is 917-889-2053. I want to have a few discussions about the cave rescues as well toward the end of the show, as well as share with you guys some of our fun shenanigans on the final laps. Let's cruise through Hammer Down at the NHRA. NHRA ran at Epping, New Hampshire over the weekend. Points got a little change to them. Funny car leader Courtney Forrest was eliminated.
I
got to
cut you off real quick. Did you say Epping, New Hampshire? Is that the actual name of the town?
Epping with a P.
Okay. Okay. I was going to say, what New Hampshire do to you? But
you know, I was watching a deal about... a driver that's in the K&M Pro Series. The name of his city is actually Big Cox.
Oh, you're kidding.
B-I-G-C-O-X.
Oh. Oh. Oh, no. That one would be too easy. That's probably why nobody, that's probably why you never heard of it before. It would be too easy.
Hey, out there they have cities named Middlesex, and there's more than one. So, I mean, Middlesex, Big Cox.
There's a town in Minnesota called Intercourse.
Oh, God. Now we just need one called Little Tits. Okay, so let me cruise through this.
Like Teddy Kaka, no.
Yeah. So, NHRA ran at Epping, New Hampshire over the weekend for the New England Nationals. Points got a little change to them, not much. Funny car leader Courtney Forrest was eliminated in the quarterfinals, actually, this time, which highly unusual, but she was... Ron Capps in a quarterfinal, so he took the silver. Matt Hag. In the Pro Stock division, Chris McGaha, MC, capital G, AHA. So I was like, haha. He won the Pro Stock final over Erica Enders. Erica just can't quite finish the job. But Erica finally moved to the top in Pro Stock points by a narrow margin. But she did move a few drivers back. She leapfrogged from third to first in points. Pro Cycle had the weekend off, and the guys on the Hogs, the Harley division. I don't have, I'm not even going to try to pronounce this guy's name, but he took it. NHRA is taking a weekend off and headed to the Mile High Nationals at Vandermeer Speedway. It's near Denver, Colorado, July 20th to the 22nd. Don't forget that NHRA will be here in Minnesota in barely over a month, August 16th through the 19th at Brainerd. So, Kurt, speaking of Minnesota, we had the World of Outlaws right across in Wisconsin Friday and Saturday at Cedar Lake Speedway. Kind of sucks when you miss those, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you have to figure it out, but yeah, I know people don't talk about it, but a lot of people show up, though. That's the thing. You know, and let's be real, Cedar Lake, it's not far away at all. And, you know, and I have to remind people, it's where people used to have to go to get alcohol on a Sunday. And then, oh, yeah, I know about Cedar Lake, so...
Well, more so would in Hudson, Wisconsin, but hey.
I actually was more in Cedar Lake on Sundays for some reason. Just like four times, me and my buddies, we'd go to Cedar Lake, and I don't know on how we would wind up going Cedar Lake. We never went into Hudson. Don't ask me.
You must have been coming more out of the Stillwater area.
You know, yeah.
You know, here's my deal. On a 2-day feature with the World of Outlaws, if they would do a day race on Saturday, I get the Friday thing. They got to do it at night. Otherwise, they're not going to attract the crowd. Okay, fine. And you got all the Apple River goers on Saturdays. Traffic's going to be a bitch. But if they would do a Saturday afternoon event, I would be all over it. I just don't care for driving down those slope and twisty hills and all that stuff after dark. Is what it is. So they were in Cedar Lake. Did you know there's still snow in Wisconsin?
Really?
There are still snow piles from plows in Appleton, Wisconsin.
Oh, wow.
I haven't seen proof of it, but I did hear about it from a voice of a voice of a voice. So I don't know how... you know, truthful that is. Snow in Appleton, Wisconsin. July 6th and 7th. Let's do the results for the World of Outlaws. Brad Sweet took the feature on Friday. Kenny Madsen took the feature on Saturday. Now, this goes... a really cool event, because instead of their regular 40 lap mains that they run, they made it 41, because Jason Johnson, who passed away at Beaver Dam in that wreck, he number 41, just turned 41, so they decided that on the return to Wisconsin that he would beat memorialized as a 41 lap event. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
I thought that was great. I really did.
Yeah. Huh.
So, that was, of course, you know, the World of Outlaws returned to Wisconsin, and after the Beaver Dam tragedy, I meant to say. Speaking of Eldora and trucks, that's where the World of Outlaws is headed Friday the 13th and 14th. They'll be headed out to Eldora for the Kings Royal Nationals. That's pretty cool weekend, if you ask me. It's Eldora, and then you get the Truck Series the following Wednesday. I'd like to park my ass out there in Ohio and hit up all of it. Donnie Schatz still holds on to the points lead. Brad Sweet still in second, and David Gravel in third. We'll see how the rest of the season pans out. Worlds of Outlaws. World of Outlaws is always a hard thing to hold on to, as they run just as many races as a baseball season. How do you even cover that? It's like, 917-889-2053 or email speedwayanywhere@outlook.com. We're looking for your messages. And the next one that says that Winnie sucks, I'm going to have that horse kick you in your head. No, I've been asked to retire Winnie. It's a sad day. I figure maybe we can ask Winnie back on the show come Breeders' Cup or something like that.
American Pharoah or Justify send anything in?
No, they said Winnie's a dick. All right. Let's drop the hammer on some more stuff. Twins. Holy crap. How do you go from 1-8 road trip and then sweeping a 4-day homestand?
Well, I got to say right now, although it is still a sweep, which just does not happen no matter who you are, I will say right now playing the worst team in baseball doesn't hurt, but it is still, you know, it's still not, any team wants to win 4 in a row, especially when you're in second place and you're 9 games under 500, but...
Weren't the Orioles kind of hot for a minute?
Oh, yeah. 5 or 6 years ago, you know, they were division winners. They were, yeah, they were a playoff team, and now they're a bad team again. So that does occur.
All right, at time of show, the Twins are facing the Orioles, and we are in the bottom of the second, 0-0. So, yeah, I mean, you got to take the little things and enjoy it where you can at this point in the season. I know that people consider the All-Star break to be the halfway point, but it's really not, man. You got to be on your feet and getting stuff done at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So, I know, which year was the worst or first? 87
or 91?
That was
91.
Yeah. That was 91. Okay.
Yep.
So, yeah, that, I don't know. I don't like hanging by a thread like that. It just, you got to make your marks and get the consistency. And it's not like NASCAR where you can be 40th points and then all of a sudden you get a win by luck and you're locked into the playoffs. Sorry there, I had to hit up a sip of Gatorade. So the Twins are playing the Royals at home as we speak, and I haven't looked it up, but I would assume if we win tonight, it will equal or exceed our best streak this year, 5 in a row.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Twins continue a 3-game homestand through Wednesday against the Royals, and then a 4-game homestand against Tampa before the All-Star break. Now, here's what's funny. Hopefully Carlos Gomez doesn't ruin all the coolers like he did on the 4th of July down in Florida versus the Marlins. But at the same time, I'm kind of hoping he does. I'd love to see that in person. Exploding coolers. Just going off like freaking fireworks and bombs and just right there in their dugout. It was so ridiculous for those that don't know. Gomez, he was up to bat. He had a guy on first, he had a guy on third, and all of a sudden, he struck out. He thought he was going to win the entire damn thing. You know, save the day, save the game. It's a Florida versus Florida team. And he came into the dugout just bashing the water coolers, you know, the big type that they normally pull over a coach's head or whatever. And then the rectangular ones, and there was whatever pro sport drinks. I couldn't tell if they were Gatorade or All Sport or whatever. One of the freaking funniest things I saw at and one of the guys from the Marlins said that, well, we weren't supposed to have fireworks here. All right, before we go to final laps, as far as the length, time's running out, don't you think?
They're going to be a playoff team. It's just, you know, they're, you know, that first round bye, though, that double bye that they do in the WNBA probably won't happen, but. You know, that's about it there.
Yeah, it's.
They make news when they lose. I mean, that's. That's how good they are, and
they made biggest news in the off season, obviously, too.
Yeah,
you know, and so
yeah.
All right, last chance, people. 917-889-2053. You want to get in on these final laps? It's actually an interesting story. 5 to go, Kurt. Salary caps. Salary caps, do you like my idea that they should be able to have some rollover minutes as, you know, it was known?
Right now, no. Well, maybe leave it on the table, but look at some other options there. But I think salary caps are a good thing. You know... especially for the NFL. And see, the NBA was one that started that whole thing, and so.
What about baseball? What about baseball? I mean, you got the bottomless freaking bank account of the Yankees.
Baseball doesn't have a salary cap, but I don't know exactly on how it works. They got a thing called the luxury tax, though. And the thing about baseball, though, when the salary cap thing's been brought up, one thing, you can't blame the players on all of that, though, because there are a few teams, though, that probably there's some ownership on a few teams, though, that probably don't want a salary cap themselves. So, but baseball does need something like a salary cap. Now, another thing, though, about the Yankees, though, over the last few years, they may be a consistent winning record team, but they have not always been a playoff contender. This year they're going to win. They're going to be in the postseason again, but, you know, something is going on, though, in baseball. I mean, so, yeah. So, but it wouldn't bother me, though, to have a salary cap in baseball.
Wouldn't that wipe out, like, the Yankees?
No, but it would make some teams be able to compete against them easier. No, because, and I think it's the ownership of, like, a team like the Yankees, though, that didn't really want it in the 90s. And that, though, either, where the Twins did and that, you know, so.
Now, here's a question. Now, as far as farm leagues, how does that work? I mean, there is no farm league in the NFL, correct?
No. Well, yeah, it's called Division I college football.
So, as far as the multiple, I mean, you look at NFL, there's guys that they just kind of pull out of the pen, just like pitchers at the end of the game. Like, all right, come play. And then,
matter of fact, before I forget, there is a lawsuit going on with some players in AAA, the top minor league. You know, the top class of the minors for baseball, though, a lot of them guys, though, they do not make a ton of money. Some of them are making only about $1,000 a month right now. And, you know, they might have a good case. I don't know the whole detail there. But, you know, they're, you know, where them guys are the second to, you know, they're the next guys to get a shot and that too. It's kind of confusing, but yeah, there's some AAA players that are involved in a lawsuit right now, and it's going to probably head into a federal court. So take that.
So take that. Noof said. No, sorry, I was just looking at, the chat window. Somebody said something really disgusting, and I'm not going to repeat it. And that's fine. I'm glad you get your jollies off of just chiming into a blog radio show. All right. So, yeah, the whole salary cap thing, I'm just like... I understand not the NFL, the NBA, the NHL, the, you know, all the above can do the exact same thing as far as that goes. But some of it makes sense. Some of it is just, yeah. All right, four to go. They're talking about beach volleyball at the new Allianz Arena. The touring division. They were saying that if you have season tickets at Allianz Arena, you might be able to get a front row seat. Now, I'd be all about that. With the women's?
Hell yeah!
Would you get season tickets for that?
Only if the Brazilian national team was there, especially the women. You know why? The beach volleyball in the Olympics, their tops say bra. Yep. Yep, B-A-B-R-A. Yep. Belgium would say bell. You know.
Is there anyone that would be bro?
Oh. I can't think of one.
Yeah, I can't think of one country that starts out as bro. Isn't it funny how the Dutch, it almost looks like they're called the douche?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Send that one beautiful woman here.
Oh, Canada? Canada would be cans. If you say Canada's, but that would be funny. Cans.
Oh, God.
That would be great. Cans and bra.
See, now I'm going to have to look up how they came up with the name for Canada. Like, it just, okay, the United States of America. Yep, we'd have to figure out what the word America means, but the rest of the word, I'm not going to wreck my brain. Any thoughts on NASCAR or others mid-season? Other series.
Well, it's just nice not having to hear Jimmy Johnson's name every single day.
I agree.
I mean, you know, and I'll admit, the guy was so damn dominant. But, you know, it's just, and two, I'd like to mention, think about that, though. The security guard deal with Mr. Stenhouse, but, oh, man, though, one thing. And I got to ask, Fenway Racing, you know, on how it's Roush Fenway Racing. What is Fenway? Because the only thing I can think of is Fenway Park.
Same guy.
Same guy. Oh, okay. Okay.
When they kind of started to, what's the word I'm looking for? Yeah, kind of franchise, kind of branch out, kind of more money, more property, and more research, and all that kind of stuff going on. Yeah, that happened a long time ago.
Okay, I did not know that.
Yeah. Roush Fenway has been a disaster for quite some time here, and what I'm kind of surprised though is that the Fords at Stuart Haas are actually quite dominant.
Oh yeah,
because you know how Roush is struggling, and then you know Yates has been gone forever. But I know that some of the family of the Yates camp are still building motors. But yeah, Stuart Haas going over to Ford from Chevy is dominant. They're kind of the new Roush if you look back at the late 90s, early 2000, as far as the Ford camp goes. So.
Yep. Yeah, I know it's strapped for time here, but I would like to mention real quick, I'm wondering on how many times hat sponsorship went up to Jack Roush and wanted him, one of his drivers, to be sponsored by their company. Because I always wanted to wear one of Jack Roush's hat. And that's one of them things. If Martin had ever won a cup, would he have taken Jack Roush's hat there in Homestead and put it on after he won the cup and gave Roush a helmet?
Well, it was like back in '98, Scott actually got me a Roush racing hat that he got at a Pro Motorsports shop. I have no clue what happened to that thing.
No.
That's okay. All right. Let's see. I did any thoughts on NASCAR? Blah, 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 blah. Oh, two to go. This is fun and creative. And then we're going to be taking the show out after this. Turf Series horses. You know about that, right?
Yeah, a little.
Now, wouldn't it be fun if Turf Series horses raced on alien crop circles?
Yeah. Yeah, that would be interesting. Yeah.
And then if they had to go through a corn maze on top of it? I bet you couldn't get the damn things to stop eating the corn, though.
That's what they should do at the Iowa Corn 300. Have it in a corn maze.
Kind of like a relay.
Yep.
The horse has they have to stop the car, get out, ride a horse through the maze.
Yeah.
Then get back in the car. Talking
yep.
about methane. That's like, yeah. Corn and methane. That'd be fun. Believe
yeah.
it or not, you know who came up with that?
Who?
Petzold.
Oh, really?
He said, no, everyone talks about NASCAR going in circles. What about crop circles? And all led from there.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to put a wrap on this. Final lap goes to the four children and coach yet still to come out from the tunnel in Thailand. And victory lane goes to the eight who have come out and to everyone involved in the rescue. Awesome job on the effort and solution. And I haven't checked the current news. Hopefully they're a little bit closer to those final five. Thanks, Captain Kurt.
Yeah. Oh, could I mention one thing about that? And this is an international effort, people. And no matter what you think of the world right now, this is just cool to have this happen. So you know, and maybe next week the world will be all back to normal like itself, but... You know, people are just in a good mood about this, so, which is nice to see. And
yeah, the
you know, and then the diver that died.
See, I wanted to make something funny, and I can after that.
No.
But I'm going to. Yeah, the world can be all back to normal, as in... We can get back to the children not trapped in caves, but are trapped without their parents, and it'll all be back to normal. Yeah.
Now?
I couldn't resist. So, hey, I'm your crew chief, Q. This has been Speedway Anywhere, blogtalkradio.com/Speedway Anywhere. At least for now, I think we might have a new name next week. Wherever you go, get there fast. We'll be back Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Time.